The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is Veterans Day. It's 11/11/15, November 11th, 2015. And, you know, we want to put out here on the show, first and foremost, my father was a veteran, obviously, my uncles. We thank you, men and women, for everything you've done for us. I wouldn't be here talking to John Bruni and everybody else today if it wasn't for what you've done for us, and I thank you. And you always have our support here for Motivation and Muscle. And I hope everyone's enjoying their day, especially the veterans that are home, and they can enjoy what they've done for making America what it is today. Our hat goes off to you. Thank you for everything. Secondly, today we're going to talk about the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. This is a free ebook that I put out. It's on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Go out, download it. It's free, F-R-E-E, okay? Leave your email address. I promise you're not going to get any BS coming your way. This is just 10 paragraphs of simple, basic, simplistic wording. It makes you think, right? It makes you commit, and it makes you take action. That's what you need to do, one foot in front of the other. You don't need all the gadgets and everything else. I'm telling you right now, you can take a stone, and you could still, you get gigantic just doing stone work every day, sandbag work every day. You want to squat every day? That's what we talked about with Bert Soren yesterday, Squattober. It was awesome, man. What a show that was. That's up, too. I put that up yesterday. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check that out. Also, our two big products that are getting ready to launch, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Briefly, Strength Times Power Equals Success is a program that I've used with so many different people to get whatever we needed. But I used that specifically with Dennis, who lost 43 pounds in 6 months, and he went from 267 to a ripped 224. Dennis was pre-diabetic, so it's all in HD, and I'm narrating the whole thing, so check that out. Winner Circle, that's 12 modules for the price of 9, all right? It's all audio, 27 to 34 minutes of me speaking, and it touches upon from the beginnings of my training career to where we are today, in between. You like the philosophy, you like the routines, you can plug them in, you can take half of them. It's the ideal thing if you want a life changer, I mean that. I stand behind both of them 100%. I'll work with anybody. You'll get a hold of me. It's not going to be an issue of that. I want to see everybody join in with our family. That's that Italian thing, our family. We want everybody here. Come along with us. I guarantee it, it will be life-changing. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo for that. .com and take a look at it, and I hope you decide that you want to get involved. Next, big thing, sponsorship. That's $500 a month, but think about it. Yesterday I did 5 shows alone, 5 to 15 a week. That's what we're doing. You're getting mentioned in the beginning and the end. Who's doing that? Nobody out there. And $30 goes to Muscular Dystrophy. As you all know, Fiorello Barbell Company and Motivation and Muscle are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy. And this time of year, when in the Northeast especially, where it's cold, these children get a cold. This is what happened to Jimmy. He got a cold, got pneumonia, and he died. They could not save him. Same thing here. I went to muscular dystrophy. I wanted everybody to know where the $30 was going. A flu shot costs approximately $30. That's where your money's going. So we're going to be around for at least 25 years. Let's work together, partner up, and you know, we're going to be over a million strong, so come on with us. Come on board. Let's make some money for one another, do some great things for some kids that are the greatest kids on earth. And as I said before, as we become bigger and bigger, we are going to put more money into muscular dystrophy. It's so important. And don't forget, the guy that does everything here on both sites is Chris Bigelow, monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Well, today we have a good friend of the show, John Bruni. John's been on a number of times, and I'll tell everybody now, I had spoken to John about this just briefly. We're going to have John on every month, along with guys like Mike Gillette, Roger LaPointe, Adam T. He's the greatest guy in the world, man. I'm telling you, he is awesome. Bill Hinburn, name him. It's a monster lineup that's coming down here. That was Adam T. Glass. I just remembered. I didn't say his last name. You know, Bill Hinburn, Bill Crawford, guy. You know, we got Brooks Kubik back, John McKean. It's the lineup is gigantic, and I don't mean to not say other people, but we'll be here for another 3 minutes naming names. I'm just telling you, 2016 is going to be huge here. And John's going to be on with us every month, and I couldn't be happier. For anybody that's not familiar with John, John is a strong man. He's an author, motivational speaker, a pastor, and he writes for Milo. And I'm sure I've probably missed some stuff. I know he's been in Ripley's. This guy is like he's like an encyclopedia of strength. Today we're going to talk about, I like to call them circus acts, but they're going to be strongman acts. John's very involved in doing these acts, and we're going to talk a little bit of the training that goes into them. So, John, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Hey, it's great to be here. Very excited today. Also want to give a shout-out to our veterans. These guys are the real heroes. You know, a lot of times, we get to do what we do because of their sacrifice. And so, you know, a lot of people look up to what we do. I look up to what the veterans have done and continue to do. They are the true heroes, and I want to give a shout-out to all of them today.
Absolutely. Well, John, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your websites or anything like that, and then we'll kick right into the show.
Well, I am a professional performing strongman. My program is called Pressing the Limits, and you can see some footage, some shows in different places we've been and where we're going to be at pressingthelimits.com. And I'm also the co-owner of Submit Strength Equipment, and that has all kinds of what we call strongman-style equipment, but also cutting-edge cardio equipment, things like the revolver where we have a barbell, things like that that will do that will develop what we call uncanny strength. You know, that word functional gets used so much. It's almost greasy. You don't want to pick it up anymore. What I'm talking about is hardcore, real, uncanny strength, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. That's the kind of equipment that we design for the workouts that will develop that way. Also, I'm a pastor full-time, love working with people, motivating people to become all they can be, to pursue their dreams, to not settle for where they're at, but to keep pushing on. And again, father of two girls and husband to an amazing wife and Guinness World Record holder. You kind of name it, kind of a jack of all trades as far as that stuff goes.
Oh, yeah. And that's a good thing, too. You know what I mean? It's nice to be accomplished and good at what you do. And, you know, what you're doing, especially as a pastor, too, you know, you're spreading hope to people. And I think in today's world, man, we got a shortage of hope and abundance. And, you know, a lot of that's created by what you're surrounding yourself with, what you're listening to. And basically, it's kind of like it's too easy now. It's been made too easy for people just to give up. And it's a sad state of affairs. I came up with this the other day, John, and I've been saying it on every show. I believe, and I write this now in anything I write, blogging, or sometimes I'll even say it in a podcast like I'm going to do right now, atmosphere, and I use the equal sign, equals attitude. And the reason why I said that is because I see so many people living in these atmospheres that they should try to get out of, or maybe they can't get out of, or whatever they've got to do. And it creates this attitude on them where, you know, you just don't want to be around them. Or they're so toxic, they end up going out and getting some type of trouble that they can't get out of. And, you know, then it's everybody else's fault and this, that, and the other thing. So I think your atmosphere lends to how you perceive things and how you act. But I'm also a big believer, if you can act that way, you can change the way you act too. But at times, you know, when you got people like you that are out there, you know, spreading good words, good values, good deeds, you know, maybe you get lucky and you grab one or two of them along the way, and I think you've done quite a bit there, you know?
Well, one of the things, you know, you're talking about atmosphere or environment, is we have more control over our environment than we think. You know, the places that you hang around, a lot of that has been created by you. The people you hang around, you know, you can't choose who you work with, but you do choose who you spend your free time with. And you want to be around those positive people, because that environment, like you're saying, atmosphere of what's surrounding you literally changes your outlook and perspective and attitude and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons we're on the show, is people in this day and age feel a lack of connection. And so I'm hoping through these podcasts that people can see that, you know, we're real people. We want to connect with you on a deeper level than beyond a book or something that's out there, that, you know, we want to speak hope into your life. And that's what lifting is all about, that your hope that you can be changed, whether it's becoming stronger internally or externally, whether it's making changes to your physique, self-esteem. That's really what lifting and strength is all about in the end, is it is providing, every workout provides hope for change. And,
you know, and it's very powerful. And, you know, I'll tell you this, weightlifting has been very good to me, and I've been very good to it. But I'll tell you what, I said this last night to Adam. I said, you know something, with all the way with schools now, you know, they want to take out a lot of the competitive sports. You know, they don't want anybody not getting a trophy, this, that, and the other thing. I said, you know what it is? You know what I would do if it was me in charge of schools? There would be weightlifting programs in there. And they wouldn't be any of this shabby crap either, where, okay, kids, go in and try it. And, you know, if one of you get your throat smashed trying to do a bench press, or, you know, you try to do a pull and the next thing you know, you fall over and break your head wide open. It would be nothing like that. It'd be run by strength athletes, whether they're volunteers or we had to hire somebody to come in and train these kids. And I'm not saying everyone has to be world's strongest man, woman, whatever. What I'm saying is, you put in standards and you learn how that no one's going to give you anything for free. And if there's anything I ever took from weightlifting, among so many things, was this: when you go in, and you and I both know, you go in after a big goal, it's not going to happen in 90 days like all the infomercials tell you, all right? Anybody with a grain of gray matter between the ears would realize that right away. But the biggest thing it does, like, I'm training Alex here, who's 14 years old. He was in his 16th week last week, and I just want to make this brief, but this goes to everything when we're talking about what's going on, I think. Comes from a very good family. I've known his father since I was a little kid. But he's a tall kid. He was over, he's 6'1", and he was about 143 when he came here. Getting knocked all over the court, you know, his dad would tell me, you know, he defeated, you know, no matter what he said to him, blah, 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 blah. So he said he wanted to get stronger, and his dad asked me, I'd like to start bringing Alex over. Would you be able to help me out? I said, absolutely. So to make a long story short, when he came here, real nice kid, but like a lot of kids, not a lot of confidence, looking down a lot, et cetera, et cetera. Needed to, you know, build up. Well, in 16 weeks, we've got 10 pounds on him, which, I mean, I could put another 30 on. He'd still look lean. But he's got a coach that is just glowing about him. Can't believe how enduring, how much stronger he's got, and his attitude, which is big, okay? 2 weeks ago, he pulled, now mind you, this is a kid that's never deadlifted, so I started him out pretty much with strongman stuff. A lot of sandbags, a lot of step-ups with sandbags, the deadlifting, the walking with the Hoosa steel stones. Keep him on his feet all the time. Strength, 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 speed all the way out. Two weeks ago, Sorens were very nice and sent me one of their trap bars, which you can put in the power rack and press overhead. It's a phenomenal piece of equipment, and he loves that. Well, his record was 250, And I said, you know, we trained for it. I said, get ready because we're going to go to 260. So he ripped that off the ground with ease. And I said to myself, I got to have him try 270 just to see what will happen. So I said, what do you think? You want to go up 10 more? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, how do you feel? And he goes, I can do it. All right. We put it on there. He steps in, gets down, pulls, and it looked like someone had glued the bar right to the ground. It didn't move. So he went to get up. I said, it's just standing there. I said, don't get out. I went over and just said into his ear, I said, you got it, man. I got faith in you. I know you're going to do this. I said, get back down in the crouch, and I want you to crush it. By God, John, he pulled that thing so damn easy, it looked like he had jets under each side of the plates. Put it down, and you could see just the smile and the feeling. You understood, you know, what was going on with him. Hey, I did it, you know, the whole thing. Well, to make a long story short, he's doing a little bit of testimonial for me for some stuff, and we are going after the younger sect, of course, and we're starting to get them coming in now. And he did it. I filmed him right on camera, right in front of all the stones and everything. And, man, this kid looks you straight in the eye now. He's not nervous. He's very flowing, and we didn't rehearse any of it. And I just want to say to everybody out there, this is why I would instill these programs in schools anywhere right now. We need them. We're losing our youth, I think, in this country more and more. I look at that 14-year-old kid. He says to me, John, I want to go in strongman next year. I'm like, holy cow, man. This is like bells going off in my head now. So being that I'm going to get ready next year, hopefully for both Iceland and Scotland, my friend Alex is going to be event training with me all winter, and we're going to take him from his about 154 right now. I'll have him up to about 180 by May. When I get back, we'll already have him entered, and he'll enter his first contest, I hope, in June or July of 16. So how's that for somebody, you know, that came here? As he likes to tell me, well, all he ever did was some benching. I got to laugh when he says that. So what do you think about that?
Well, I love it. And one of the key things I think you said is when the weight wasn't budging, you gave him some encouragement. And the main thing is that he knows that you believe in him. And that is one of the most powerful things that people can experience in the training world. You know, I train a lot of times alone because I just do some ridiculous, crazy stuff. But there are certain days, at least once a week, and sometimes if schedules go out, we can't do it. About once a week, I train upper body in a group of guys at the concrete gym. That's a group of guys. We have a special hardcore place, and it's mostly benching and chest workouts. But there's a high belief in each other. And I tell you what, you can highly exceed your expectations when people have higher expectations of you than you have of yourself. And that's the we talked about the atmosphere. You know, when I go in there, there's an atmosphere of, dude, it's beast mode. It's on right now. You're going to do it. And everybody's shouting. I mean, there are times when you've got a guy screaming literally in your face that you can do it. Well, of course you're going to finish that lift. Of course you're going to be able to do it. So it's key, man. Atmosphere equals attitude, just like you said.
Yeah, isn't it fun, though? I mean, all these years we've been training, and you still kind of got that little boy in you that just wants to get big. Like, that's what I said when I was talking to Alex's father. I was like, you don't know what it's done for me, too. I mean, it works the same way in an older lifter because I train alone a lot like you do, too. I do weird stuff, but my hours are strange. And, you know, John, I've come to the point now where not everybody's always reliable. And when I want to start, man, I want to start. All right. That's just the way it is. I don't want somebody coming in disrupting the workout. I don't work well like that. All right. I like being very concentrated on what I'm doing. But I got to tell you, when you see the acceleration in a young gentleman like this, it's going to rub off on you. I mean, you know, I'm more eager to go in and do more damage to things because I'm like, hey, you know what? This kid came here with nothing, you know, and now look at him. And it's like, I have an obligation to myself to do even better now, to be a better example. So it's done a lot for me, too. And that's why I want to tell people that, you know, you got so many people on the fence with everything nowadays, whether it's entrepreneurship or should I be a trainer, or should I compete, or should I just, you know, should I make a goal of wanting to nail a 400-pound squat by December of 2016? And it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, why don't you know? Why aren't you taking the chance on yourself and get off the fence with everything? And it's like, anybody can do the things they need to do. It's if you have to go out and research and ask or find somebody, seek somebody out, by all means do it, man. Don't shortchange yourself because others are saying you can't do it or you have so little confidence in yourself. I'm telling everybody out there, I mean this. If you just take a step every day, do something a little more, believe a little more, execute a little more, take action a little more. All these things are going to lead to your greatness. I say this all the time. I say everyone is 1 kilo away from their greatness. Okay? I totally mean that. That's what it's all about. John, you know, we're going to get into the obviously the circus stuff, the strongman acts and stuff. But before we go, I you know, why don't you give us a little comment on it, and then we'll just move right into that.
About strongman feats in itself?
Well, no, not so much about that. But, I mean, you know, we got to end this trend of people just giving up, giving in, and never taking a chance. I mean, what would you say to everybody? And then we'll move right into the strongman acts. I mean, if I came to you right now with my head down, which I wouldn't, but if I did and said, John, and I would hope you'd probably smack me right across the head, I'd be like, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, I'm failing at everything. I can't seem to do anything, you know, right. You know, I want to lift, but I never do that right. I don't show. What would you say to me? Because, I mean, that sounds like a quitter. And I know you got. I know these days everybody's got to be kind of handled delicately, but, you know, I would hope that you would pretty much shake the friggin' life out of me. But how would you approach somebody that came to you like that?
Well, one, the best way to remove a limiting belief like that is to actually put the person through the experience. And the best way I can illustrate this is if you're downhill skiing, all right, you take, you know, you're starting out on that bunny hill, and yep, a guy gets a little competent but there doesn't think they can do it. You've got to get them up on the chairlift and say, hey, you're going for the big hill. You can do it. You've got to actually put the paces. And so how you change a limiting belief is through experiencing the counter to that. Mm-hmm. So if you mm-hmm. think, you know, on this negative aspect, you've got to put people in a positive light. So you take them through a workout. Say, you're going to do this. You're going to put them in that, because most people are very limited in what they believe. And those beliefs subconsciously are working against them, and they don't even realize the decisions they're making, because it's all happening at a subconscious level. And so what I like to do, without getting too deep, is taking people through a conscious experience that counters to those negative beliefs. Like I said, taking somebody from the bunny hill and saying, hey, you're getting on this chairlift and you're going to go down the big course and you're going to make it. And they make it down that course, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I can do this. Let's bring on a bigger course. Let's do, you know, it's little victories. I heard John Maxwell talk about this a long time ago, but if you study the Bible story, and even if you haven't written, you know, don't read the Bible regularly, we all know the story of David and Goliath.
Sure.
But what happened was, before he ever took on Goliath, he had some small victories when he was a shepherd boy. He took on a lion, he took on a bear, and then he's like, okay, now let's take on the big boy. It's getting those small wins under your belt. And so instead of just shaking you, I would shake you by pushing you into an environment or an experience that is counter to your negative beliefs, and get those wins under the belt so that you can afford the big goals.
Absolutely. That's perfect, because it's the little things in life that really make a big difference. And it's like, that's why I said, there's too many things that don't look at. Everybody wants the big enchilada all at once, and that's not going to happen. And when you don't have it, we know what happens. You know, people just fall through the cracks. And it's just very important to me to take little things, like you said, little wins, get them, build and build and build, because you know what you've done? It's like anything. Your foundation is built, we'll say, on steel, because we're talking about weights instead of quicksand. If you can start building your life up through that, the things that can happen to you are unbelievable. And I hope, more than anything, with what we're talking about here today, it resonates with somebody right now or some buddies out there that just don't know where to turn. But here's something definitely that will influence people that really want to take a big turn in their life. John and I are going to talk about these strongman acts. And anybody who's not familiar, John does strongman acts. So, John, let's talk about a few that you really, really, really like, you really get into, which you know, really spurred you on to getting into more and more of this. So give us a few of them, and if you could explain them, and then, you know, as we get on, we'll just talk about, you know, some brief training, not super direct, but stuff that would influence it, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, my favorite act is obviously the world record that we have, where I lay under a bed of nails and my wife jump ropes on top of it. That's my favorite one, because that takes some mental toughness every time, because you know you're going to be in extreme, extreme pain, and it's dangerous, and I love that. Bending steel bars over my head, another great one, because, you know, a lot of guys out there have the strength to bend bars, but you've got to have that strong neck to be able to support that bar and bend over the neck. That's for the head, and I do the neck too, but that's a great one. Another one of my favorites, we did a few years ago, and you can see some video of it on YouTube, where they hooked a Harley Davidson motorcycle up to each one of my arms and let it take off.
Oh, and how did that feel, that, man?
It's intense.
Yeah,
I bet. Isometric contraction. I did just recently, they hooked me up one arm to a pickup truck and let the other Harley take off on one side to see, you know, how can you handle the different pressures, and was able to hold that back. Pressing steel logs set on fire over my head, driving nails through boards. I mean, I really love that kind of stuff. Picking up SUVs, you know, or Jeeps. We've done the Jeep lift number of times. I love those kind of feats, because they take the mental, the physical, and the emotional, and they tie them all together. In fact, that's one of the things I love about performing, is when you do these types of feats, the audience can actually feel it with you. They make that emotional connect. When they're watching you, they can see the pain in your face, or they can see the blood. You know, we do a lot of different feats, and some of them do draw blood. Sometimes when we're breaking bricks set on fire, I mean, I've had burns that have had to send me to the hospital before. I've sliced my arm open from concrete. One of the other ones is my wife drops a 15-pound bowling ball from a ladder on my stomach. It's a glass plate on my stomach, and I've had, you know, glass shatter into my skin and bleed. It's the real deal, and people really connect, and they resonate with that. And my all-time favorite one, though, that we do is we do a Hercules hold, and I think this is quite unique. I don't know if anybody does this the same way that we do. In the World's Strongest Man, they used to have that Hercules hold where they would hold out some kind of implement at each side for as long as they could. What I do is we have feet called lifted, and I hang my wife from a neck harness around my head. So she's hanging crossbody, and then we have two 40-pound-plus solid steel crosses that I hold out at my side for time. So it's a real interesting crucifix, and it actually cuts off circulation in my brain after a while. But to watch the crowd, how they get into that, because they can see the pain when I'm starting shaking, and I say, you know, I'm not going to quit on you if you don't quit on me. You know, we end up getting and making that connection, and something really powerful comes out of that. But that's probably my all-time favorite feat.
I mean, that's awesome, though. What got you started in it? I mean, was it a lot of reading the old timers, the old strongmen, Saxon, and guy? What got you really into this, John?
Well, it's kind of funny. I'd always lifted weights, but one of the humorous side of how I really got into the actual feet side of it. I went to go watch a strength team, and they were breaking bricks and doing all this stuff. And I went home, and I just said, I think I can do that. And I hadn't had any training in those fields. And so I basically just bought a big stack of bricks, broke them, but it put me in the hospital. So I had to get some proper instructions. So I broke the bricks with my elbows, but it pretty much broke my elbows too. And
yeah,
I realized I needed to get some instruction how to toughen up certain parts of the joints and different things. You know, again, the feats worked. It was just that I was getting injured doing them because I didn't have any instruction. And so that's when my good friend John Brookfield, we got in contact together, and he mentored me, and we've done shows together in the past. Set a world record together by pulling a semi-truck for a mile. But I really have to give him a lot of credit for, you know, really mentoring me in that area. And then Dennis Rogers also, I got to do a lot of reading with him later on after I was already performing, just for inspiration and really enjoy what he does. John Brookfield was my mentor.
Yeah, awesome people. I mean, you couldn't ask for better to learn from, that's for sure. Do you feel this is what I was talking about the other day. You know, I did a lot of stuff on a show I do called Train and Gain with Aaron Mackin, who does all the post-drink and the food for the day. She's a Marine out of California. And, you know, I think at times, too, you know, you struck something with the elbows. Obviously, you're putting massive force to drive them through a brick. But do you feel in the elbow area, especially like what we like to do, because I think what we do exposes every weakness on your body. I think bodybuilding, some of the other stuff, you might be able to get away with it because I don't care what anybody says. There's no way it's as intense as what you're doing. Do you feel that the elbow area can be a problematic issue with this type of training, whether it's strongman, the feats of strength you're doing, you know, big globes over the head, things of that? Do you feel that there's any connection to that and the elbows all in that area being weak?
Yeah, you really learn to develop the area around that. My development of that is going to be look a lot different than what a lot of people do. I not only do a lot of joint mobility for the elbow, but I intentionally put the elbow in stretched, what I call almost a crisis position, you know, borderline and something that could be injurious to take it to the limit so that it's strong enough that when it's in that normal position, it can handle the load. I don't know if the wording necessarily makes sense, but it's taking something past what good form would be intentionally so that when you are doing with good form, you handle that much more load.
Yeah, because I think that's a big thing through everywhere. Like I've been really working the thumb a lot more now because obviously especially using the bigger dumbbell handles because I've been doing a lot of one-sided training, which I've found's really helped that injury with the shoulder, where, you know, right now a lot of stuff's devoted to rack and stone, obviously. But what I do on the fourth workout, I do either the left or right side for the day. And that's comprised of – I use now all thick objects, handles, barbells, whatever. I'll do the squat dead stop out of the power rack with an Apollon axle on whatever shoulder. Now, I am using both legs, but obviously the axle is not across my back. It's across the shoulder. A little bit different feel, I can tell you that. So I'm coming dead off parallel pin with that. From there, I'll move to one arm bent row with a 2-inch, Randy's 2-inch dumbbell handle. And then I have a special piece of apparatus I designed and I put in the width of the power rack where I can take any dumbbell at any height in the rack and press it dead stop. and, you know, goes right through the actual rods, through the tubes, you know, latches in the back with the pins, and I can put any dumbbell from top to, from end to end, because it's open enough just to get your hand and wrist through, and I can press that. Now, I found it's really created a hell of a lot of strength in my body just doing things on each side. But why I'm using the bigger handles, obviously, it's not a night that I'm using to try to go as big as I can go. I want, you know, the rack and the stone are my primary stuff right now to go big with. I won't say I'm going small with these either, but I'm doing this for one reason. The handle is going to be the limiting factor for the night. So depending how strong my hand is and everything else that follows from the hand up to the shoulder, that is going to limit what I'm moving that night. It's a very interesting thing to do, and I've really, really liked those three movements, and I feel I've gotten quite a bit off them. And I'm very interested, and I've been writing a lot of stuff about this, and I think it's very, very – it's a very efficient way to train. It's also a good way to kind of break up the monotony of what you're doing. When you're, you know, when you're punishing yourself in a rack dead stop off everything, then you're taking a stone where you could be pulling it out of the rack at any height, or you're walking it anywhere from 25 to 50 to 95 feet up and back. That puts an awesome beating on your body. So I think this one-sided training has really allowed me to not get burned out, not get overtrained, and to be able to keep going, because I'm getting ready to kick in the phase two of the power rack training next week, and I feel really good.
Well, you know, you talked about the elbows. Back to that for a moment, and piggybacking on what you just talked about. What I said probably didn't make sense to most people, so I want to change it a little bit so it'll make better sense. Taking things and working things in an extreme range of motion that you wouldn't use. Same concept when you're using a thick-handled dumbbell. When you use that thick-handled bar, if you're using I've got a 3-inch barbell at home. Now, if I can do something with a 3-inch barbell, whether it's deadlifting or pressing or whatever else, because that's an extreme force on my hands, when I do something normal, use a normal bar, it just becomes easy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing with the elbow. Thing else is what I try to do is I try and take things, and what I said was bad form. Well, it's more extreme form, an extreme range of motion, so that when I do it in a normal sense, it actually becomes easy.
Yeah.
And it bulletproofs against those injuries.
Well, that's the whole thing, and, you know, people don't realize, well, maybe they do. I mean, you know, you're always going to hear about the big movements, you know, the hips, the thighs, you know, obviously – anything to that degree, the lower back, et cetera, et cetera. But you know something, you know, obviously you never hear a lot. Well, I like to talk about, and I'm sure you do too, the shoulder girdle. I mean, you got to have a very strong shoulder girdle. But the thing is, I think people don't really understand is, do you realize how much your hands, fingers, wrists, forearms, biceps, and triceps are involved in everything? And I know people say, you're wasting your time, you know, training those muscles, they're small. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't have those muscles and you don't have a lot of strength, especially in those tendon areas and ligament areas, and obviously you want to build your bone, you know, you want it to be as dense as it possibly can, and you really want to have that thick, it doesn't have to be this bodybuilding style look of musculature, but man, when someone looks at you, you're going to be like, whoa. You know, it's like you can see what you have done with all those things. I'm a big proponent too, John, of – now, Bill Crawford and I got into this, and I love when we talk about stones. And ever since the bicep injury – and I've always done bicep work, but not to the degree I do now, and I don't overcompensate at all. But like Bill said, and I totally agree with him, I do believe the bent row – will build the thickest biceps you can make. I know you can curl, and the only way I curl now is with the Apollon axle. And once again, I'll reiterate, I do that because I want my grip to limit what I can curl. I want to build a thicker, more muscular more dense looking bicep, and all the other stuff follows, because when you're curling a bar like that, that's activating
Hello?
Everything in that arm. Okay?
Are you there?
So I'm here. John? John?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. For some reason, it totally cut out.
Yeah, well, we're having internet connection problems. It just came up on my screen. I don't know if you – where did we get to? Where did you hear where I was talking about curling with the Apollon?
Yeah. That was right where it left off. The grip limits how much you can curl.
Exactly. And we also know, too, when you're curling a bar like that, that's hitting everything. We, you know – And if you do any type of cheat curl with it or anything like that, I mean, you're trying to throw it up. You know, a lot of people say it's a way – well, that'll hit your back muscles big time too if you know how to do things. But that's neither here nor there. What I like to do, and I've always been a proponent of it, I like to do isometric holds with it too. So I'll set the rods at about midpoint, and obviously I've got a big enough rack where I can sit, you know, stand in it, bring that bar up, and pull it as hard as I can against those two rods for as long as I can hold it, put it down, put it back on the floor. I think it's real important, real essential like that. So, you know, going back to all the stuff we're talking about with elbows and extending and using the thicker implements and working one side, I agree with you. I think unless something freaky happens like with me, I think you can bulletproof yourself to the point where even if you get nicked up, you're coming back. You're not going to be down for weeks because, you know, we had said this offline. It's like, you know, when I banged my shoulder up this year, I had full intentions of leaving for Iceland by August, okay? Maybe earlier if we were ready. July would have been better. But you got to dance around things. You got to figure things out. You got to go down and get, you know, whether it's ART or massage or chiropractic or, you know, whatever you like doing, okay? This takes time to work out, and you can't rush these things because the last thing you want to do is blow a shoulder out, all right? Because that could cripple you for good at that point, because a lot of times when you have to get surgeries like that, they'll tell you everything's all right, but you're never what you were a lot of times. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So, you know, that's where I'm a big proponent of all that, John.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things you talk about, the hands, people say you're wasting your time. If people understood how much of the brain is devoted to controlling the hands and the hand-brain connection,
yep.
You don't have time to get into all that. That's a huge thing. And you want those forearms, hands, learning to provide that like, lifting-wise, but having good dexterity, that makes the whole work to get better, and people need to understand that. And one
well,
more shout
hey John,
out,
what? Go ahead.
Oh, one more shout out about why a lot of people have elbow pain too is so many times people are not working the extensors.
Yep.
So if you're doing a ton of thick bar work, you got to make sure that you're doing extensors, whether it's putting your hand into a jar and extending it out and lifting it off the ground, or there's loops that are out there that expand your hand bands. There's all kinds of stuff out there, but you've got to work the extensors also, or you're going to have huge elbow pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you another thing too. It's like when you're attacking these things like that, and you're talking about the hand to brain connection, which I'm a big believer in that too. Think about this. Go out if you haven't done this. Go out and try these two things next time. When you go to squat, keep twisting your hands on that bar until they hurt. I'm serious. Watch what's going to happen, man. You're going to get signals everywhere going all over the place. And then secondly, next time you're going to do any type of pull, shake that goddamn bar as violently as you can. Watch what it'll do. I'm telling you, little things like that will set things off in your head where you'd be amazed at what's going to happen when you either get under that bar or you get over that bar and pull it. So I'll leave it at that end. As far as with the strongman acts, you do some intense stuff. Just give us, you know, it doesn't have to be anything direct. What exercises do you think are going to really, really lay the leather on it and really help you progress? And anybody that's even contemplating that, obviously I would hope and I'm sure they could contact you. But how would somebody, other than going out on YouTube and watching video, what would you suggest? Is there a good book out there? Is there something out there that they could just get their teeth in and maybe decide one way or the other? But first, let's just talk about some of the basic movements you'd suggest, John.
Well, of course, it's all about tendon strength. And if you are going to do any of the strongman feats, even, you know, whether we're talking lifting cars, whatever it may be, the hands have got to be developed. The tendons, the fingers, the forearms have got to be developed. And I do this in several ways. There's one, not just lifting heavy things, but also through isometrics with chains, you know, pulling on chains as hard as I can that cannot be moved, doing fingertip deadlifts, anything that's going to strengthen those tendons, but also something that is very overlooked and very controversial in training today, and that is toughening the tendons through MARTS technique. And one of the things that I do is train the body for impact. I have two major implements that I use. One is a conditioning hammer, and that's a wood piece, and it actually has some slats in it so that when you hit it, you can hear a slap, a bang, and it helps you to know that you've made a direct contact, whether the contact was smooth or off. But I use toughen up all that toughens more of the skin. Then I also have a beading bag that is made of river rock, and it's canvas. And it looks like it's probably about a 12 to 16 inch long thin canvas bag. Mm-hmm. And I take that and I beat the different parts of the body, and that really toughens up the tendons. It's very controversial. A lot of people, try it. But I tell you, it sure makes you be able to take an impact, or if you have to take a punch from somebody, that's a very effective way. And then the third thing is an iron palm bag where I do a lot of slaps. It is just a canvas bag filled with rock, and I do a lot of slapping of that, especially prior to grip work, because it toughens the tendon. You know, the tendons have to do some extreme things very deep in. But you have to be smart with that, because the tendons, when you have an injury with the tendon, that sets you back a long ways. So very methodical training, not all at once. It's a little bit every day over time. It's that compound effect where you just become a beast as far as tendons.
Yeah. No, I'm because I do that just with a boxing heavy bag. I have it laid across like my glued ham machine. And I can stand right in front of it, and I'll just do – it'll almost look like I'm doing head slaps to somebody. Very easy. I'm not taking and wailing on this thing. That's not the idea. Then, it'll depend what I'm going to do for grip for the day. I find, too, gripping – I learned this from Bill Crawford, too, because as you and I both know, the stones that we like and the stuff that I want to go lift is – it's like talc. There's just – it's so smooth. There's no handholds. For anybody that doesn't know what a handhold is on a stone, it's going to be creases in the stone where you can get your fingers into. So it helps you out to grab this thing, and hopefully you're going to lift it. What Bill was telling me to do is to take different size stones and, do them in a range. And obviously I'm doing these at the end of the workout. So, obviously I got to be cognizant of what I have left and do bent rows with these stones. But then on your last rep, dig your fingers in as hard as you can to that stone and hold it. And I'll tell you, John, my hands, my fingers, all that look way thicker right now. And it's just a lot of fun to be able to go from stone to stone to stone like that. So I like to do that a lot. But like what you said with the bag hitting this and that and the other thing, I just want to caution everybody like John did. It's not something that you want to do a full shot blow to the head of somebody. I'm telling you, you'll end up hurting yourself. And that's not what it's for. It's a nice thing. It gets my hands nice and warm after I've been doing other things in a different way. Everything, I can stretch my fingers out and kind of just hit it softly with an open palm repeatedly, and then, like I said, might go lift stones and just jam my fingers into them. I might do a grip machine. I might do a wrist roller. You know, I might just stand there for time with a 2-inch handle with a bunch of weight on it and hold it till I got to drop it. It could be anything, you know, Titan's Telegraph. I've got all those pieces. Anything. You know, you can be so creative and so good with the stuff, and you can get such response from your hands, man. And like John was saying, that neurofeedback. I'm telling you right now, that's the whole idea of training. You're doing something, and your mind and body are giving you feedback all the time. It'd be like John and I training together, and John would say, well, did that look right, you know, when I pulled? Or I'd say to him, did I look right coming up under that squat? And blah, 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 blah. You're getting that feedback even though you don't have somebody there. So I think it's very important to really explore those things, especially the hands.
Yeah, and then the second aspect that's foundational for any of the strongman feats is heavy supports. Yep. What I like to do is I have a leather belt that I got a long time ago from Atomic Athletic. It's a harness.
Yep, yep.
And it's a unique harness because, like, the harnesses we use to pull trucks and stuff, I get those from Iron Man. But this is a different type of harness. It's meant to hold the weight below you. And
yes.
I will put, you know, 1,100, 1,200 pounds on that bar and do heavy supports that way. And that builds strength like you can't explain. Until you've experienced it, you can't explain it. It's very, very intense. And love doing it.
Well, the whole matter with that, I got one of those too, Roger. They were custom made, and it looks like the one that reminds me, I think, John Grimmick, it might have been a picture of him doing it years ago, and I saw that thing. So I use that too, and I've got a hip belt. I can do the hip belts with the special bar that I ordered from Roger years ago too. But I'll tell you what, that kind of stuff will make you a beast. You know, you get in that rack and you overload those ligaments and tendons. You know, you start doing partials, you start doing holds rod to rod. I mean, these are things that will make you a Superman. And these are things, again, John, I feel like a bent row and a straight arm pullover and things of that nature. They have all fallen into the cracks. Let's face it. Unless you go somewhere where you guys are or I am, or maybe you'll find a few gyms in America that still subscribe to that. But if you're going to go to a universal gym, and I don't mean universal as in a machine where, you know, they don't judge and they give pizza on Fridays, you're not finding a power rack there, let alone probably even a halfway decent Olympic bar if they've got it. So these are all things that what we're talking about today are very scarce, I feel, out in the exercise world, I guess, called, or the strongman world. We know what everybody's playing around with and some. But it's really a shame that people have not been exposed to this probably. York obviously was the one that brought the rack in. The racks had been in before, homemade stuff and all that. But really, probably in the last, well, it'd have to be maybe the mid-80s right to this point. I mean, you don't hear things like this. You know, I mean, where do you hear this kind of talk at all, really? Unless it's among fellow lifters, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
right on.
I mean, think about it. Just think of what, you know, that's why I'm so glad with Alex. Just think, man, I'll have him in the rack within another month and a half. He'll be learning how to dead stop squat. I mean, just think of the production he's going to have above all these other athletes, unless they got a guy like you coaching them or one of the guys or girls on the show. This stuff is like foreign to people now. You know, if I've got a step up machine and I've got something that, you know, basically I can walk on all day, we're in good shape. I don't call that good shape. I'm glad you're going out and doing something, but I think you've got to engage your mind and body in the stuff that's going to test you. And I don't mean periodically either. Every day when you're training, you need something that's kind of knocking you right back on the heels of your feet, and you've got to react. And once again, we talk about twisting a bar, shaking a bar, whatever it is, something that is going to make you mentally react. And how are you going to handle that? Are you going to cave in Are you going to give it the biggest fight you can get it? Are you going to get it that day, or are we going to get it the next time? That, to me, is what it's all about.
Yeah, if you can do the exercise while you're watching TV, it's not intense enough. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whatever you're doing, if you're watching TV while you're doing it, it's not intense. It's not engaging your brain because your brain is engaged on the TV. You are mindlessly exercising.
Yeah.
And that's what's
you
about.
Know what it is?
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I was say, you know, the thing about strongman feats, when you're performing these things, if your brain is not fully engaged in everything that you're doing, you're going to get injured, and you're going to get injured severely. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Severely.
Or killed.
Absolutely.
Or you could be killed, too. I mean, yeah. It's like anything that's worthwhile, anything you want to be involved in, you have to engage yourself. And that goes for your kids, your wife, your girlfriend. If you're not engaged in each other's lives, or you're not engaged in, you know, strongman feats or out lifting stones or, you know, Highland Games or just the idea of engaging yourself mentally within yourself, I don't want to give you bad news, but you're going to have a big problem. And as John just said, you could get hurt severely. You could get killed. We've seen people in the weight room that don't have people spotting them correctly, and they take way too more off than they should with a bench press. Goes right through their neck, basically, or it suffocates them because there's no one to get it off them. We don't want any of that stuff. So learn to engage your mind, engage your body. You know, be into it 100%, not 50%, not 65%, but 100%. And even when you have off days, I was saying this yesterday, John, that, you know, we all have off days. We have days sometimes we don't concentrate as well as we should in there. But what I always find, because I have built and imprinted this philosophy, I believe, within me, I always have something that carries me through. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be a great day with the weights. We all have them. We have days where, man, you're just wondering, what am I doing out here today? You know, why am I doing this? Why am I beating myself into the ground like this? And I always say that, you know, that'll last for about, I don't know how many feet I'll be walking out of the garage. I might be halfway down the driveway, and I'll be like, damn, I can't wait to get at it again. So, you know what I mean? It's like you flip back so quick because this is such a part of your life. This is what you live. This is what you believe. And when you believe in something so strongly, when you have this type of passion, this goes into every facet of your life. I say this to people all the time. I had a college professor named Frank Klein. He was my business teacher for multiple classes. He was one of the best teachers I've ever had in my life, and I still talk to him every now and then. He said to the class one day, he always liked to single people out, which not a lot of people like that, but it was usually always a compliment. And, you know, he always liked myself and two other guys were all weightlifters. He was in a coach for some semi-pro teams at one time. Big man, the kind of guy, a man's man. And he gravitated towards us. It was just natural. And he said one day we were doing all this stuff, and he said, you know, if Eric puts as much into everything else outside of weightlifting that he gets into, this guy will not only be unstoppable, he will be a big success. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to tell every one of you out there, you have the ability, but you got to tap into it. John, I'll leave you. You can, whatever you want to add, if you would then give any information to the company and all that with what you're up to, I'll give mine. If you could stay on the line for a minute, I appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the things that, guys, here's what I want to do is I want to throw down the gauntlet to you. I want to throw down a challenge with strongman feats. Go out and try something that you think is impossible and find a way to do it. Put yourself in the deep end of the pool as far as lifting goes and really challenge yourself to do something. I remember the first time that I blew up a hot water bottle, which I don't suggest that being one of the feats that you start with because it's extremely dangerous. A lot of people have been killed by that. In fact, if the air goes back in your lungs,
yeah,
it will kill you. So do not, you know, that's not one I would challenge you with to start with. But I remember
the first time I did that, how I learned to do it was my men said, get out and do it. Get it done. John Brookhooks, I was like, how does this work? He goes, well, he showed me one thing is that you have to stick your tongue down in between breaths so that you can hold the air in there while you're inhaling through your nose. So he did show me that technique. But everything else, he's like, just find a way to get it done. Just do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember the first time I went up, it was one of the most intense experiences I've ever experienced. When that thing exploded, it did something for me on the inside because it was overcoming something that mentally at the time I had no idea I could do. And then fast forward a couple years later, we were at the Arnold Classic, and I was blowing up a hot water bottle at a booth on the hour every hour for 2 days.
Wow.
When the expo was open. So once you get that initial thing where you find that you can do something you didn't know you could do,
yep,
all of a sudden you're an expert in it. And all I'm saying is, guys out there, find a feat, whether it's a squat, whether it's a deadlift, whatever it may be, that in your mind you've been limited by and think that you can't get it. Find a way to get it done. Search deep within you, what we call digging deep. Find that internal reserve that you have, unleash the beast, and get it done. And you will find that you are operating on a whole nother level, and that you'll find that your perspective in life changes. You've done something, you've destroyed a limiting belief, and you've gone forward. You know, I look forward to a future podcast. Maybe we can talk more about the strongman feats and how they will change your life. But again, a great
day.
Thanks for having me on the show. Looking forward to amazing things in 2016.
Yes, sir. John, why don't you give out your website, too, again? I want people to know how to contact you like that.
Yes, it's www.pressingthelimits.com, also www.submitstrength.com. And then, of course, you can follow me on Facebook, just at John Bruni, and on Twitter at PressTheLimit. So,
awesome.
Again, would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenx.com. You can contact them at 803-978-2253, extension 111, heartscollision.com. Don't forget to adexclub.com. That's www.adexclub.com. That's our good friend Donnie Giafardino. Give him a look. Also, too, don't forget the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out at FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Also, too, our two big products, Getting Ready to Unleash, Strengths Times Power Equals Success, and the Winner's Circle. That's all out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. And sponsorship, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, and Motivation Muscle. The sheet is out there. Very easy, very straightforward to fill out. Let's do some work together. And in the process, you're helping muscular dystrophy, too, and that's a big thing. Before we get into the other stuff, I just want to say to everybody, why don't you go out to make a comment on either site page, Fiorella Barbell Co., but go out to Motivation Muscle, being it's the show. Leave us your comments. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a review. We've got 5-star for every review on iTunes, and I appreciate that. Remember, we are going to be over 1 million strong, and we are taking the world. I'm telling you right now, this is beautiful stuff. Let's see, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes, obviously, I said, in Stitcher. Facebook, Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with a few of these things. If someone contacts you in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them your time. John and I just proved to you, words can change. You listen to John and I there's just people on here. I listen to them when we're going back and forth, and they inspire me. And I've been doing this stuff a long time, like John and the others. When you can have, like I talked about Alex too, when you can have people that you're dealing with, that you're talking to, that are part of this whole family I talk about here, and I can listen to John, and John inspires the hell out of me when I listen to him, that's incredible. I mean, when you can have people that you don't – I've never met John. I've only talked to John. No, there's nobody here that I've even met anybody, all right? This is just years of knowing people, striking up good conversations, doing business with them, et cetera, et cetera. So be cognizant of that. You can really make a difference. And as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And that is so true. I think it's more prevalent now than ever. Take a walk around. Just look at the amount of people that are walking with their head down. Say hello to somebody. You startle them. It scares them. It's the strangest, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and we are living in some very strange times right now. But don't be afraid to be part of something. Thirdly, go out today. Go lift some big iron, take some stones, and turn them into dust. And it's like the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red on both sides, domination. We are domination. We will be over a million strong. As I said, two things. No one is ever going to clip our balls. This is manliness here. We are men. We know how to act like men. Real men know how to treat their children, their wives, their girlfriends. They know how to conduct themselves. But you know what? They also know if there's a time to draw down, you know how to do it. That's what it's about. Be a protector. Be somebody that's meaningful, worthy out there. And last but not least, as one of our listeners says, Russell Furr, says, when I listen to your show, I swear to God there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. That is one of the nicest compliments I ever got. Russell, I always thank you for that. And don't forget our new show, Training Gain, with my co-host Aaron Mackin on every Sunday. It goes through the lifting routine we're going to do for the day, sets, reps, goes with the pre-workout drink, and usually it'll always go with some great meal for you to recover and obviously get those muscles much, much bigger. John Bruni, thank you for being on the show. It was another classic, and I don't know. I think I said this to everybody, but John is going to start in January of 2016. He'll be on monthly with us, and what an add-on to us. I mean, John, I thank you for that, and once again, thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thank you. It was a great time.
Same here. So for John Bruni, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll start back up in January with John. And, everybody, we'll be talking anyways. But, John, have a nice Thanksgiving. I've been wishing everybody that. And we're going into the best time of year as far as I live. So, everybody, be a steward of strength. Have a great week. And John and I will talk to you again in a month and a half.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.